Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan and thank you for joining me today. Our program is called Sheridan on Romans. As I go through this book, Paul's letter to the Romans, and if you listened yesterday, and I hope you were tuning in, if not, you can go back to my website at crossandthrone.com and re-listen to yesterday's program, as we did give an outline of Paul's letter to the Romans and kind of a homework assignment for the study of this marvelous letter. And just to repeat real quick, we divided the book of Romans into four sections. Romans 1 through 4 is justification. Romans 5 through 8 is sanctification. Romans 9 through 11 is dispensation. And Romans 12 to 16 is vocation. This is a great division, I think. It's a divine division in there because they address different subjects. Read each one of them through numerous times. Just start with the first four chapters and ask God to help you and get settled on each one of these great teachings. And that way we can live our life, the Christian life, in the atmosphere of the great teachings of the Apostle Paul. And so many people today, just they lack hope and they lack peace because they don't know where they stand with God. They think God is still angry with them and that he's ready to zap them every time they mess up. But I think if you understand the gospel of grace, you'll never feel that way again. And God delights. Some people think that salvation is Jesus Christ came here just to appease God and God really didn't want to save us. Well, friends, the God of all creation came up with our salvation. It was His delight. It was the Father who sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It was His plan to begin with. And so God wants us to have peace in our hearts and peace toward Him and enjoy the great salvation that we have. Well, last time I had made a comment that the Apostle Paul, that the Lord attaches just as much emphasis on the Lord's messenger as He does His message. And I couldn't find you the verse because I was confusing Haggai and Habakkuk. I was looking in Habakkuk when I should have been looking at Haggai. I'm not using any notes in this program, friends. I'm just going back. I'm just going through this book verse by verse as I understand it, and I haven't made up notes and for this program, so I'm going by memory here. But it's in Haggai chapter 1 verse 13, and this is what it reads: "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people." And so this is the verse that I was referring to: the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And the Apostle Paul surely was that. He was the Lord's messenger, and he had the Lord's message. Well, we saw in chapter 1 of Romans, if you can turn back there with me, Romans chapter 1, we read Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I can imitate Paul in this. As a matter of fact, there are only two men in the Bible who say to follow them. The first one is the Lord Jesus. Remember, He said, "Follow me." And the Apostle Paul tells us to follow Him. He says, "You be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And so we are followers of Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Paul that we learn who the Lord Jesus is today towards us, and what His present role is in God's dealing with the nations. Well, the apostle is a servant. And by the way, he was a servant, as we read in Romans, if you turn in the book of Acts, at his conversion, there's something very interesting that takes place here. The risen Lord finds Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul was carrying in his hands authority from the high priest to persecute those who called on the name of the Lord Jesus. And as he journeyed, chapter 9 of Acts, verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" By the way, that's a good study. Every time the Lord says a name twice, you read it in Genesis, Abraham, Abraham. This is just a side note, by the way. And we read Moses, Moses, and Saul, Saul, Martha, Martha. There's a bunch of places where we see that, and it's a good study to look up. So he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Notice Paul's first words. Paul, the converted man. Paul was converted, and then he asked the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's the right order. We believe on him, and then we serve him. We're converted first, then service comes second. We're not saved by our service. We're not justified by service. We're justified freely. God justifies the ungodly, not those who are serving him. And then Paul was in the midst of going after people. He was in the midst of persecuting the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus saved him instantaneously. And then once that took place, Saul says, now what wilt thou have me to do? And there's instant surrender and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think you and I can imitate Paul in this. We can say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the answer to that question is not, it's not hidden in the stars, and it's not something we have to look too far to find. A lot of people think that service to God is some mystical thing, but it's not. The problem we have today is that we're always looking for some great act, some great thing to do. You know, what do we do? What should we do? What practical things can we do as Christians? We're always looking for some kind of service. Well, let me just say that, remember when God met Moses, and God said to Moses, what is that in thine hand? And he says, a rod. And in other words, Moses, it's not going to take you much to do what I want you to do. Just use what's in your hand. And the same with us today. Look around you. Look at your circumstances. Are you a husband? Well, there's your first duty. What will the Lord have you to do? Now carry your faith into your family and love your wife and raise your children properly. And find service for God in the common, in the mundane, in the little things. And it's when we're faithful in that, maybe the Lord will expand your ministry to something else. But very few people are called to teach and preach the Word of God. And so don't think that that's what you have to do. We're servants. We all can serve Him, but we serve Him in the realm of life in which we live. And I'll give you one more verse that will maybe be helpful. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is found in Acts chapter 21. And in Acts chapter 21... Paul, in verse 4, they were in a town, they were in Tyre, and it says in verse 4, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. Now picture the scene. Paul lands in Tyre and meets a bunch of new believers he had never met before. And they became dear to one another through their conversation, and I'm sure Paul taught them there. It doesn't say he did, but I'm sure he did. And he becomes so dear to them, and they became so dear to him that they, when it's time for him to leave, they follow him and accompany him. All the families did, husbands, wives, and children. They accompanied him outside the city, and it says, we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship. And they returned home again. Now I want you to notice this. Paul was the soldier. Paul told Timothy that he's to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's referring to the service. That's those who are engaged in teaching and preaching the Word of God. But the most common folks, 99.8% of believers' job is to return home again. And what did they do at home? What did these believers do at home? They lived. Live your life, friends. Live it. The life you have is the life God has given you. Now live it. And if you, whatever circumstances you're in, God can give you joy and peace no matter how bad or painful sometimes. And I personally have an affliction, a serious back issue where it causes me constant pain. There are days I can't walk. But you know, I'm to live here in this situation. I have it, and I am to honor God in it. And we have a home, we have families, and so even in our work, and I know people don't like to hear that, but you know, God is not going to get you out of these things. He's going to give you strength to honor Him in those things. So stop trying to find all these self-help books on how to have a different life or something like that. Live the life you were given and enjoy and thank God for it. Well, Paul says he's a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now, that is something you and I cannot imitate him. And I do not believe, personally, there are any apostles today. I think one of the requirements of an apostle was to have You had to have seen the Lord personally. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" And remember, the Lord Jesus chose 12 apostles on earth. They walked with him. They talked with him. The Lord Jesus was chosen by the risen and ascended Christ. He met him on the road to Damascus and gave him his commission. And I do not believe anyone today has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul did, and so did the 12. And by the way, this also brings up a great question. If the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth in his humility, if he chose 12 apostles, and now the question is, why did he choose 12 apostles? I'll let you think about that for a moment. Why did the Lord Jesus on earth choose 12 apostles? Do you have the answer yet? Excuse me. Took a sip of coffee. Well, the answer is, he chose 12 apostles for the 12 tribes of Israel. And for further reference, turn to Matthew 19:28. The Lord Jesus says, "Ye which have followed me in the I'm just quoting, "Ye which have followed me in the regeneration," speaking of the 12, "shall sit on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel." So in the millennium, we're going to see the 12 apostles judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to probably have a role very similar to the princes in the book of Numbers. If you know, in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, there are 12 princes who are renowned in the congregation, it says. And I think the apostles are going to be the renowned ones in the millennium. So he chose the 12 apostles and to be the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. So if the Lord Jesus on earth chose 12 apostles for the 12 tribes of Israel, why did he raise up Saul of Tarsus later? And friends, in the answer to that question is probably the most important question of this day. Why Paul? And remember, some people think that Matthias was a mistake on the part of the apostles, that that Peter and them were making a mistake in choosing Matthias. But remember this. The Lord Jesus was personally present with Peter and them for 40 days after his resurrection. And he taught them. And they knew exactly what to do. I do not want to be the person to say that Peter and them were making mistakes. Do you want to say that? I don't. Well, Paul was chosen by the risen and ascended Christ, and their message was concerning Christ, and the 12 apostles were concerning Christ and his ministry to Israel, concerning the earth, and the apostle Paul was concerning the risen Christ and his and the heavenly home for the body of Christ. I think that's an important distinction. So think about these things until next time. Well, my name is Dan Sheridan. I thank you for joining me and listening to Sheridan on Romans. We're going to continue going through this letter line by line. And please, I hope you don't consider it tedious, but we're going to do this because it is for your benefit and mine. And do the study. Read Romans 1 through 4 over and over again. Read Romans 5 through 8 over and over again. And read Romans 9 through 11 over and over again. And Romans 12 to 16 over and over again. Remember, we pointed out the four distinctions in Romans. Romans 1 through 4, justification. Romans 5 through 8, sanctification. Romans 9 through 11, dispensation. Romans 12 to 16, vocation. So please keep studying. Again, this is Dan Sheridan. My web address is crossandthrone.com. You can listen to these programs for free. And if you want to keep this ministry supported and keep this program on, you can help us out at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois 60073. Again, P.O. Box, this is Dan Sheridan, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois 60073. And you can call me at 847-312-4676. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.